Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in the field. It's the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the readings, there's a huge contrast between the type of intimate growth that the Lord wants to occur in us and through us in the world, and the corruption that happens when we don't grow. Let's begin with that growth. Jesus gives us 2 parables here about how the kingdom starts and how it expands. This is relevant to the way it does in every one of us individually and in the church and the world as a whole. First parable is of a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, basically very, very tiny, that eventually grows huge. We see what happened when, for example, in this tiny little visit of the archangel to an unknown woman in Nazareth, her yes changed the entire history of the world. It was because of what happened on that day when the seed was implanted within her womb through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, that the entire kingdom of God began and began to grow so much that all the birds of the air were able to rest in the branches of that seed grown mature, her son, as he extended his arms on the cross for our salvation. We see it again happen in the Feast of Pentecost. When out of those formerly frightened apostates, we had fearless apostles exit that formerly double-bolted upper room. It was from their work that the church again expanded into a mustard seed, crisscrossing all the known nations of the world at the time. A couple of weeks ago, when I was on my annual priest course, I watched a video about Father Joseph Muskies. He is the priest of Opus Dei whose cause for canonization has been completed in its archdiocesan faith up in Boston. Is now over in the Vatican. He died in 1983. But it was in 1949 that St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, sent him and a young physicist named Sal Farragut, who eventually became a priest and became my spiritual director, to the United States with no money in their pockets to start Opus Dei in the U.S., They had no resources whatsoever except the seed of the Word of God that had been planted inside. And they wanted to bring essentially the message that God had given St. Jose Maria Escrivá, founder of Opus Dei, to the United States. That God calls us all to be holy. The way He calls us to be holy is not by getting us to abandon our homes, our jobs, everything else in human life, and running off to become a priest or a monk or a nun, or an active religious sister. That God wants us to become holy in the midst of our ordinary activities by sanctifying all our work. They had no money. There was a story there that they needed a house to start their activities in Chicago. So they went up, they saw a house that would work. The problem is they didn't even have money to put down a deposit on the house. But the story so moved the realtor that he used his commission so that they could put down their deposit. And that's where it started. And then eventually it began to grow. And it began to grow leading into our second parable that Jesus gives us today. As leaven inside the dough. there had been the mentality again that in order to really grow and have the kingdom grow, you need a whole bunch of people to leave the dough behind and go off some other place where there'd be the focus on holiness. That was absolutely not what God had asked St. Jose Maria to bring to the world in 1928 when the Lord spoke to him. But in the midst of ordinary activity, as is leaven in the dough, to lift up a whole family, to lift up a whole parish community, to lift up a workplace, to lift up a school, to lift up a sports league, to lift up a bridge club, right there, not by escaping, but by taking Jesus Christ within us into all those activities and lifting them all up from within. That's the type of growth that the Lord always wants to see in us and through us in the midst of His church. But if we're not growing, if we're not responding to the Lord, then there will be corruption. Because as Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen used to say, there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. Either we're moving uphill or we're sliding downhill. But we never stay the same. If we think we're staying the same, if we're the same Catholic as we were last year, we've actually regressed, not progressed. We see that in today's powerful image in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I want to introduce you to a term, which I'll mention every once in a while. It's an important term for us to grasp a lot in our faith. But it's called an oat. O with a circumflex, for those of you who know French. O-T. This is a prophetic action that expresses a message in the very action. And so you'll see in Jeremiah throughout his book lots of these prophetic oaths. What did God ask him to do today? He asked him to take a linen loincloth. Linen was a very precious fabric fiber, very expensive. And linen loincloths were used by the priestly class. So we heard last week, Jeremiah was from a priestly class. So God told him, go get a new piece of linen underwear. Wear it. And then take it off. I want you to go to a place, Parath, which was close to his native town, buried in a cleft of a rock. So Jeremiah obeyed. A long time later, after a long interval, it says, the Lord told him, go and fetch the loincloth that you hid there. When he went and he found it, it had already been corrupted by the elements of the dirt in which it would have been placed. And that was supposed to be a gesture of exactly what had happened to God's people. God brought those in Judah, those in Jerusalem, those in Israel, as close and as intimate to him as underwear is to our privates. They were that close. God had made himself vulnerable in that way. God had brought them into his own generative power, you could say. And then what happened? Rather than take that seriously, they became totally corrupted like that loincloth. They didn't listen. Even though God wanted the entire house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to him like that loincloth, to be his people, his renown, his praise, and his beauty, they didn't listen. Their faith was rotted. They refused to obey his words. They walked, they progressed, they grew in stubbornness of heart toward the Lord. They began to follow and adore strange gods and be like a corrupted loincloth that is no longer good for anything. That's what happened. And we see not that God so much punished them out of anger, but that God allowed that corruption to rear its consequences so that they would come to their senses and convert and come back to the Lord. Now let's make it very practical. At a communal basis and at a personal basis, we're either growing or we're becoming like that loincloth. We can't just stay the same. Let's start with the communal side, which is a little easier. The communal side, Is the church growing like that mustard seed and that leaven? Are we lifting everybody up? Or is it corrupting? There are many parts of the church in the world that are really thriving, like the parables today. There are parts of the United States that are thriving. One of the reasons why I love to go to preach retreats to young women religious communities is I see the growth there, teeming with vocations, as I will be doing later on this week. You can really see the hope in their beautiful vocations. One of the reasons why I love to preach in places in the Southeast and in Texas is because they're building parishes one right after another. Conversions are occurring all over the place. To be honest, it's a different version of the church than we're used to up here in the Northeast of the United States, where instead of building new churches, we're closing churches. And we need to be candid, because sugarcoating it doesn't help us. 5 out of 6 Catholics don't even come to be with God on Sunday. Very few Catholics go to receive God's mercy, including among those who come to receive God on Sunday. Are we lifting up our culture? It's hard to argue that, because so many of the Catholics who represent us in office are the protagonists of everything against the kingdom. They're the ones with 100% approval ratings of Planned Parenthood, because they're lions in the destruction of the unborn. They're the ones we're the ones who are leading to the redefinition of marriage against from what God wanted. We're the ones who often are the most xenophobic of all, saying we don't want any immigrants to come into our country, even though we're all immigrants. I could go on. At least in the Northeast, at least in our reality, we're not the mustard seed growing into a big mustard tree. We were once that big mustard tree, but we're shriveling on up. Instead of lifting the whole dough of our culture up, the bread's stale. And why'd that happen? Now we get personal. That happens when we, as individual Catholics, stop growing. There are so many of us, I'm not talking about daily mass goers here, but there are so many of us who know our faith less than we knew it when we were confirmed. There are many of us who have less faith than we made our first communion, even though we're so many years later. We've ceased to grow. We've ceased to take advantage of the opportunities to grow. And we become far more worldly. That's what leads to this type of communal corruption. But today's parables are great sources of hope for us, because the whole history of the church is a history of the Paschal mystery. It's just like the history of the Jews, in which there were times of great consolation and desolation. Times of great growth and times of contraction. The growth happened when they were faithful. The contraction happened when they were not. And so we come and we can say, okay, things are constricting. What's going to be our response? The first response we can all make is to say, I'm going to grow. I am going to try to become that mustard seed of new growth. I'm going to try to become the leaven among my friends. And even if I have to spend all the years I have left gaining one person back for Christ, then the church will grow more than it would have if I didn't do that. But a lot of the times when one person gets on fire, they can take many back to the faith. And that's what the Lord wants us to grasp today. He wants to plant us as a mustard seed in the midst of our communities. He wants us to be enthusiastic leaven leading to growth. United together with him, we're able to recapitulate what happened in this beautiful lady. We're able to recapitulate what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. We're able to do again what courageously Father Joseph Muskies the future, Father Sal Farragle and others were able to do to bring sanctity to ordinary lives here in the country. All it takes is for us to recognize that the Lord who calls us to this type of growth will give us right here all the help we need to grow if only we respond with faith. Today the Lord wants with us to do something far more significant than this prophetic oath with Jeremiah. He's not going to have something symbolized by linen underwear so that he would show what type of an intimate relationship he wants to have with us. Jesus is actually going to enter our innards through Holy Communion, and we're going to enter his together with him. That mustard seed is about to grow anew. Praise be Jesus Christ.